नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रिष्टाय भूतले स्मृति भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे ने विशेष शंडवारी पश्चात्य सतारिणे हरे कृष्ण By the order and blessings of my senior god brothers and senior devotees, I've been asked to speak something today. I'm a little humbled because usually the biggest audience I speak to is 30 to 50 people. So now I'm on the spot. This very sacred place, the house of Kashinath Mishra, where Lord Chaitanya resided, here in this very tiny room, about the same size as the room Maharaj takes in Mayapur, 108 Gada building. In the future, who knows what will happen to that room. And it was here that Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wound up his pastimes. And here, from this place, he exhibited the highest spiritual emotions possible in this very place. So we'd like to speak something around spiritual emotions. I think by the looks of some of your shining faces, you've probably experienced some spiritual emotions, especially Jagannath Rath Yatra time. I was observing with binoculars who was beaming, who was crying. So that ecstasy, that happiness that we feel, that spiritual happiness, it's actually bhava. Even on the sadhana stage, sometimes we experience this spiritual emotions. So this is a gift. It's a gift from where, from who, how, why. We can't say for sure, but if you experience sometimes, but you know it's for real. Once you experience this, even for a few moments. And as His Holiness Sachinanda Maharaj mentioned yesterday, this is necessary in order to keep us going on the path of sadhana. Because if we don't taste, if we don't actually experience something, some bliss, which everyone is looking for, then how will we continue? So that is why that is gifted to us on occasion, that you can actually feel these spiritual emotions. So even on the very beginning platform of sadhana, so that is Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And here, as I said, this is here exhibited the most, the highest spiritual emotions imaginable. Where, how this happens upon us, we don't know. Just one time we was in a very ecstatic kirtan in Mayapur in Srila Bhaktivinoda's house. Gopurnima time. I was watching one devotee who was feeling great ecstasy. And he was trying to control himself. He was trying to control the tears. He was fighting that. So I was thinking, why aren't I getting that? And it was ecstasy because I asked him afterwards. He confirmed. He said, I didn't feel like that for a long time. Wow. So in the same place, at the same time, Someone can be feeling ecstasy, and others, we don't get it. But it's happening in the same place, the same time. So how is that? I don't know. But anyway, we say that it's actually a gift. And a necessary gift at that. Just like you don't know when we go in the ocean, you don't know what the next wave is going to be like. John was yesterday, he went for a swim last night. The ocean ripped away his Brahmin thread. And today he went for a swim and it ripped away his t-shirt in half a moment. Gone. I said, you better be careful next time you go for a swim. Who knows what you'll come out with or without. So these spiritual emotions are actually what we are all hankering for. Mahaprabhu says, let me taste for the full nectar for which we are always anxious. The pure devotees, the pure unalloyed devotees, they say, I don't want anything. I don't want this, I don't want that. Because when you're at that stage of actually saying, I don't want this, I don't want that, na janam, na dhanam, na sundarim, when you're actually saying that from the heart, you're already getting it. Otherwise, you wouldn't say it from the heart. But because that is a realization. I don't want that. You won't want that because you've got something better. So when we have this experience, then it's much easier for us to say hi, bye to Maya. Otherwise, very difficult. As we heard yesterday, very difficult. Impossible. Where your heart is, it's pleasure we're actually seeking. That is the nature of the soul. That the soul is, by nature, is ananda. Satchitananda. Having forgotten that in the material world, we've forgotten who we are, what our relationship is, but we're in the subconsciousness, that lacking is felt. That lacking, that we're ananda, is actually what we want. Everyone is looking for that. But of course, in Maya means that which is not. We're looking in the material world through the material senses, identifying ourselves as a body for that ananda. So that is a dream. That is called Maya. That which is not. It is not there. But it does exist. Obviously it exists. Otherwise, why is everyone searching for it? So it is evidence that of the souls, the soul is bliss. And another evidence is that the soul is eternal, that nobody wants to die. And nobody likes to be in ignorance. They're all natural phenomena. It's natural. It's unnatural to be unhappy. It's unnatural not to be blissful. It's unnatural to get old and sick and die. That is why 100% of the population thinks the same way, if they're okay. But we can only talk about this, but it's actually an emotion that we experience. Actually, you can't talk about it. It says the very nature of prema is that when you try to analyze, it disappears. If you ever feeling some spiritual emotions and you start to think about it, it goes away. Because you want to analyze the situation, what's going on, how it happened, where it come from, what is this wonderful phenomenon, then you're bringing in the intellect. Then the intellect is dry. There's no rasa in the intellect. There's no bhava in the intellect. It's just reasons. The intellect, the bhava is in the mind, which is situated in the heart. That is where you're thinking, feeling and willing. So that feeling is there, done in the heart. So even at that time, the thinking and willing is also not there. As soon as the mind starts to think and will something else, then you're out of that situation again. You're out of that feeling. You've brought something else into that moment of just feeling or experience. And then it goes away. So that is the nature of that. And bhava is the preliminary stage of prema. So here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing these his pastimes to teach us. He's teaching us how to surrender to Krishna, how to love Krishna. And he stayed here for the last 18 years of his life. He joined the, he attended the Rath Yatra festival every year, most years, and exhibited great pleasure in dancing and chanting. And he's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the chapter of the Lord's dancing at Rath Yatra, how the Lord would he would dance in such a way, and such an ecstatic emotions would appear on his body that all of the eight ecstatic features, sometimes more, would appear simultaneously on his body. And he said he looked like there were like two opposing armies staging a war, a battle on his body, because everything was going on at the same time. It means when this, the spiritual emotions get so intense that your material body doesn't know what to do. That is why your body will shake sometimes, and that is why tears will come up in your eyes, because the body can't handle this thing. It's not used to this, this amount of pleasure, emotion. So they said after the after a while of, and he was, Marva was enjoying very nicely with all of the devotees. Then his mood changes, and he asked Swarup Dhamadhar Goswami to sing. And Swarup Dhamadhar Swami Goswami, understanding the mind, the bhava of Lord Chaitanya, begins to sing. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, it's not possible to understand of the mind of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he thinks one thing and he says another, or he says one thing and he does another. He thinks one thing, he does another. So how come, but here we see actually a few devotees actually could understand the mind of Lord Chaitanya, but they're not ordinary devotees, they're his personal closest attendants in the Aprikat Leela, Sri Vrindavan Dham. The chief gopis are Swarup Dhamadhar and Rai Rama. So he understood, then he would sing something exactly according to what Lord Chaitanya's mood, to facilitate that mood. I'd like to just read this. We know that Lord Chaitanya is in the, comes in the mood of Srimati Radharani to experience his devotees' love for himself, Krishna. He can't understand how his devotees feel so much ecstasy in serving his feet. And so he, the only way he can find out is to become a devotee. This is intelligence. So he becomes a devotee. He becomes the best devotee. Srimati Radharani. So assuming her complexion and mood, he appears. So after abandoning his dancing, the Lord ordered Swarup Dhamadhar to sing. Understanding his mind, Swarup Dhamadhar began to sing as follows. In English. Now I have gained the Lord of my life, in the absence of whom I was being burned by Cupid and was withering away. So this this was song refers to Srimati Radharani's meeting at Krishna with Krishna at Kurukshetra when the Brijbasis came to Kurukshetra for the lunar eclipse. Then they met Krishna again there, and she was there expressing their desire to bring him back to Krishna, to bring him back to Vrindavan, because here solar eclipse. because here, although you are the same person, I am the same person. You're the same boy. I'm the same girl. This is the same Munit, night of Chaitra, the same. But it's not the same here. It's not Vrindavan. Here you're surrounded by cavalry, horses, chariots. So much. You have all your royal dress on. It's not the same. We can't express ourselves freely here. But that's why it says Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Because outside of Vrindavan he can't act as Krishna, the son of Nandan. He can't act in such an intimate way. So that's why Srila Prabhupada says Krishna stays in Vrindavan in his Bhava Prakash, in his emotional form, where the devotees associate with him there, because Krishna is not different from his, from thoughts of him. So he would, then Mahaprabhu would begin to enact this pastime with Jagannath, and Jagannath would reciprocate. So sometimes, he says there was a sort of competition between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath in seeing who would lead. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so strong that he made Jagannath, wait in his car. So this is what the mood that Lord Chaitanya was relishing, the internal mood, which only one or two persons could actually understand. Otherwise everyone was enjoying, Jagannath is there, just like we are. Jagannath is there, the festival is there, the Maharajas are there, Kirtan is there, we're having a great time. Right? That's one level. That's one level of Krishna consciousness. But here you see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was enjoying something more deeper than that. He's actually in taking that mood that we here, Krishna, let's go back to Vrindavan, then we can really enjoy it. Then we can really enjoy your presence in Vrindavan. We can do all the things that we used to do, but we can't do here. And it's mentioned in the purport here, and Srila Prabhupada is quoting Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada in his Anubhashya, that this competition, that sometimes Lord Chaitanya was in front, sometimes Lord Jagannath was in the front. He says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's following in the rear of the rats indicated that Lord Jagannath Krishna was forgetting the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Although Krishna neglected the inhabitants of Vrindavan, he could not forget them. Thus, in his opulent Rathyatra, he was returning to Vrindavan. In the role of Srimati Radharani, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was examining whether the Lord still remembered the inhabitants of Vrindavan. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell behind a Rath cart, Jagannath Dev, Krishna himself, understood the mind of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, Jagannath sometimes fell behind the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to indicate to Srimati Radharani that he had not forgotten. So it is the esoteric meanings of the dealings with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath. Thus Lord Jagannath would stop the forward march of the Rath and wait at a standstill. In this way, Lord Jagannath agreed that without the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, he could not feel satisfied. So this way they used to go on and on. So this, then Mahaprabhu would be singing and speaking to Lord Jagannath very deep, meaningful prayers. He's saying here, There is not even a drop of the ocean of transcendental happiness that I enjoyed with you in Vrindavan. Everyone was in ecstasy. Even Mahaprabhu was in ecstasy. But here he's saying, there's not a drop of the happiness that it was in Vrindavan. So how much ecstasy we felt for pulling the rat. There's so much more. Much more layers to go. We can achieve the realm of Vrindavan consciousness. Therefore I request you, come to Vrindavan, enjoy pastimes with me. If you do so, my ambitions will be fulfilled. Okay. So in that ecstatic mood, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited many other verses, but people in general could not understand their meaning. So who could understand the mind of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared as a devotee? Who could ever fathom such an esoteric move by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear as a devotee? That so many people saw Lord Chaitanya, but only the ones he revealed himself to could actually understand. Only the pure devotees could actually understand who he was. Even Bhagavan Sri Krishna, when he appeared 5,000 years ago, many people saw him face to face, but still, their misfortune, their hearts didn't melt, and they never understood his actual position. So not such an easy thing. Pure devotional service. But Lord Chaitanya has made the process very simple. He's come here in this mood, intoxicated mood, and performs his pastimes to show the world a very simple way to actually love Krishna, to know Krishna and to love Krishna. He wanted to deliver the whole world, every living entity. And we have to understand the more we understand about Krishna, his personality, then we realize actually what a wonderful personality he is. What a wonderful person that Krishna actually is. There's no comparison. But the way he acts is sometimes seemingly contradictory. Why he leaves Vrindavan? Everyone's in complete distress. They stop eating. They practically can't live without him. They'll give up their lives, especially Srimati Radharani, others, Mother Yasoda. They would like to give up their lives. But she's thinking, if I give up my life, Krishna said he will come back very soon. If I give up my life, which I want to, and Krishna comes back, and he finds I give up my life, he'll be so upset. He'll think it's his fault. And he'll be so upset, I'll cause him so much suffering. So I can't do that. I cannot live and I cannot die. This is the intense mood of the residents of Vrindavan. And even we see in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, when he left Navadvip, it was a thunderbolt that he was actually going to leave Navadvip. Our devotees were crying and falling at his feet, begging him, please don't go, please don't go. Why are you leaving? We're having such a nice time here. All your devotees are here. The sadhus are here. We're enjoying kirtan every night. It's a perfection. We're just sitting around it, discussing all night the topics and chanting the names of God. This is our perfection. Please don't go. Mahaprabhu said, I have to go. I have to get this prema. I have to get this love of God. Then when I find it, I would come and give it to you all and everyone. They said, no, don't go, don't go. Please don't go. They were begging. Their hearts were breaking that Lord Chaitanya was had to leave. They said, if you leave, you can go. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are supremely independent. You may go. But know for sure that as soon as you go, Mother Sachi will die, followed by Vishnu Priya, and followed one by one, all the devotees will just leave their body. There was so much love for Lord Chaitanya, so much heartbroken that he was leaving. And Mahaprabhu also, he was heartbroken to have to hear this and to have to leave them. Actually, he was suffering more than they were at the point, the fact that he was having to leave his devotees. His heart was also breaking. He's acting as a devotee. So he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whatever he does is the best. So when he's a devotee, he's the best devotee. He loves his devotees so much, his heart is cracking when he has to leave. He can't tolerate. But for the sake of us, he leaves that wonderful situation. Just like Krishna leaves the spiritual world, for our sake, that wonderful place, Vrindavan, where every word is a song, every step is a dance. He's accompanied with his flute. And everyone and everything there is fully in love with Krishna. Love is the ambience in Golok Vrindavan. And Hare Krishna mantra is the theme song, which is always playing by the bumblebees and the birds and the cuckoos and the swans and the wind and the leaves. And everyone and everything has a loving relationship with Krishna. And Krishna reciprocates with everyone every day and every entity there, even the non-moving entities like the stones and the trees. Krishna reciprocates with them. Well, they're so pleased that when Krishna passes, they put their best fruits and flowers. And if Krishna steps on a stone, the stone will become soft. And if it's a little warm, the stone will be cool. If it's a little cool, then it will become warm. So like this reciprocation is going on there. But he leaves that place. Why? Why he should come to this place? Matya Loka. For you and me. In other words, we have dragged Krishna from Vrindavan. Not dragged him, but out of his love and compassion for us, he's left that wonderful place and come here. So you should think, because of me, because I'm such a rascal, and I won't surrender to Krishna, he's left that wonderful, wonderful place and come here just to deliver us by performing his wonderful pastimes here so that we can maybe attract it. What a wonderful person. Would you do that? Would you do that? If you had a ticket to the heavenly planets even, you'd jump on and without looking round, bye-bye, go. But Krishna is completely unselfish. There's a difference. So when we hear about the personality of God, then in that light, then our own failures are magnified, our own shortcomings, our own selfishness is magnified when we hear about his wonderful personality. So Lord Chaitanya told his devotees, why are you saying this to me? Why are you torturing me like this? What kind of love is this? You're all saying you love me. But if you love me, it means you'll do what I want to do. I have to go. I have to get this prema and spread it for everyone. Give it to everyone. What is this? What kind of love is that? You're saying don't go because we have a nice scene. We have a nice family scene here. We get a nice party. Every night we're having, enjoying kirtans. And what about the... So he left that wonderful atmosphere for us, for you and me. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, same thing. He said, I was very happy in Radha Damodar Temple, Vrindavan. Retired from family life, business. Happy sitting there at the lotus feet of the Smarti, the River Goswami. But he said, very happy, satisfied, doing his bhajan. But he left. At the time of retiring for anyone else. Now I've done my work. At that time, he left that place. But he was very, very satisfied and came to a terrible place. No association. He had to create association. Uncivilized people. Less than the fourth class of the civilized people. Outside of that, so that's selflessness, for the pleasure of Krishna, for the pleasure of Guru. That sacrifice is there. And if other people took that same cue, well, this world will be a different place. That's what Srila Prabhupada did. So there are hundreds of sadhus, thousands. If they all took the same message of the Lord to heart and acted sincerely, the world may be a different place. So you see, the Lord is not actually cruel. Some people say that God is cruel, why he allows this to happen, why... But he's not. Or even his great devotees. He puts them into so much distress. But he doesn't... They may be in distress, but this is also a lesson for us. This is another reason we can feel bad. That the Lord performs his pastimes and he puts his devotees into so much distress that they've almost given up their lives from separation and other ways. Why? There are many reasons for the Lord's pastimes. They are multi-leveled, multi-layered. Because only the pure devotees, the pure unalloyed devotees, can pass the test that Krishna puts them through. And their pastimes are left for us to discuss and hear about the wonderful pastimes of the Lord and his devotees, how his devotees tolerated everything. So that they set the standard. How can we complain? Look what Srila Prabhupada did at 70. Look what Haridas Thakur tolerated. So many examples are there. For what? For our benefit. So there always be the pure devotees, the acharyas, they come and they set the example to the highest degree that actually you can't even come up to that stage. How is it possible? To be as tolerant as Haridas, or as austere as Raghunath Das, or learned as Rupa Sanatan. They're there. The incidents are there. These histories are there to show. These are realities that these people went through. For our benefit, most of these people are siddhas. For our benefit, that we won't complain or become complacent. I've done so much already. Now I can. Because we can't come near these great acharyas and devotees. So the pastimes are very deep. And one reason is that we can't understand the pastimes. Therefore, why Krishna would do such a thing? Why Mahaprabhu would do such a thing? In this way, we whet our appetite to why? Why? If he's God, he's all good, all love, this is what we've heard. Why? Why? So then we go and find out why. Then we have to go to the devotees. This way we come into the association of the pure devotees. That is our fortune. That is our good luck. Huh? We get the association of, because only the pure devotees can answer our questions satisfactorily. So we have to find a pure devotee if you want to know why Krishna acts in such a way. We have this question because we think, if I was God, I would do it like this. Why he does like this? I can't understand. Huh? Eh? We already think anyway we're God. But a little humble. If I was God, why would he? I wouldn't make everyone suffer. I wouldn't make my devotees suffer. Actually, if you was God, you'd be sitting on a very nice seat with everyone running around you smiling and bringing presents, isn't it? And you'd be enjoying so nicely. Krishna, he's running around to serve his devotees. What a wonderful person. How can he compete with that? He's not interested in that position. He's chasing after the service for his devotees. That's Vrindavan. When Krishna says, wake up, as a boy, Mother Yasoda, wake up, Krishna. Why are you sleeping so late? And why have you got Balaram's dhoti on? He's wearing. Krishna's yawning. If you don't get up, you know, all the men are at the goshala. The cows are not giving it. They won't give milk till they see you. And the men are in anxiety. They're in distress. They can't milk the cows. The cows won't give milk until you come. Immediately he jumps up. Oh, am I putting my devotees in distress? Cows are in distress? For me? Quickly, wash your hands and run away. All the cows are looking down. And then their tails go up and the milk comes out. And so that's Krishna. Then he comes back and takes his bath and eats nicely. Would you do that? What a wonderful person. So this very sacred place now is where the Mahaprabhu closed these earthly pastimes. In a very heart-rendering way, which is difficult to understand. But actually, in these final days that he spent here, he becomes so much absorbed in Vrindavan. Prabhupada said Vrindavan is a consciousness. Dharma is a state of mind. He becomes so much absorbed in that that he completely forgot. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. They weren't there anymore. externally he used to behave very strangely. Devotees didn't like it. Sometimes in separation he would rub his face on the floor. Completely oblivious. He couldn't recognize his dearmost devotees. They were shocked. How would you feel? If Maharaj slipped into ecstasy and stayed there. Hare Krishna Maharaj, no smile, no haribol, no embrace. Only Krishna, Krishna. There was a time I didn't even recognize any of the devotees anymore. They were heartbroken. So this was the final lesson. Sooner or later you have to leave everything behind. Of course, with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, it's actually a reality because they're all siddhas. But for common people like me, then this is a temporary situation that we're going through. We have these relationships according to the body, that's all we can identify with. Therefore we become heartbroken. So at this very final stage, he was exhibited the stage of Mahabhav, which is not possible for an ordinary human being. Only Mahaprabhu, Srimati Radharani, can experience this to the level that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed. It's not possible for a human being. So what more could he teach? He taught the Yuga Dharma. He taught compassion and love for all of the living entities. He taught surrender to God. He taught service to God. Simply for the price of faith, he gave that. Then over and above that, he gave the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a friend, as a son, as a lover, which is never heard of before. That is what he gave. And still giving. So he had nothing more to teach. Nobody could understand. Nobody could learn anything more. He was just absorbed in Mahabhava, oblivious to everyone and everything. What was the use of him staying any longer? He wasn't reciprocating with anyone. Simply Vrindavan. So this is what is so specifically that gift he has came to give, this service to Krishna in Shakya Vatsala and Dasya Madhurya, specifically those last three. So he gave everything for anyone and everyone. Gave the process how to get that. Simply chant the holy names of Krishna. And give up any ideas of trying to enjoy or to control in this life, this world, knowing it as a phantasmagoria. But there is no shelter here. It's a temporary place where we're changing body after body. There's no, wherever you go within the universe, there's no permanent rest for the soul. So once you give up this, trying to find a nice situation and trying to enjoy it, if you give up those two things, then you're eligible for love of God. It's not such a difficult thing. That's all he's asking. we hear it, associate with the devotees who are practicing it, then we can also be inspired to actually make that step. And then we can then appreciate the moods of Lord Chaitanya, the Vrindavan consciousness, what goes on there. This is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So it's available. It's here, right now, in this room. We just have to access it. So that's what Lord Chaitanya, Gohari, came. He came to give love of himself with Krishna, the all lovely, sweet, enchanting Nanda Nandan, who sometimes leaves Vrindavan and becomes God. But that very same Nanda Nandan, that very same Krishna, he is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He personally comes here. He's the avatari. So when we associate with the devotees, pure devotees, we can attain higher levels of consciousness or reasons, or Krishna consciousness comes in layers. Or conversely, the false ego, the layers of the false ego start to peel off as one associates with the devotees, performs the congregational chant in the Hare Krishna, takes Mahaprasad and performs all those devotional activities. So this is what happens, and this is what it actually executes, the change of heart. And when now, by the association with the devotees, then you're, and hearing these different viewpoints of the different, of the pastimes of Krishna, because there's many ways to look at. If I'm holding a diamond here, and there's a light, some of you will see it blue, some of you will see it orange, some will see it yellow, some will see it red, some will see it violet. Right? According to the light, according to your perspective. So Krishna's like that. According to your perspective of Him, He will reveal Himself to you. And if we change our perspective on Krishna, if we move into a higher level, then automatically your whole life will change perspective also. Your thinking, feeling and willing in material world will also change perspective when you change your goal. The more we appreciate Krishna, so our paradigm changes. Our goal changes. This is another aspect of Krishna's personality, which is endearing me more and more to Krishna, that He is the Supreme Personality. He is the most wonderful personality. There is no comparison. And they will become more endeared to Krishna. And then your whole lifestyle will change, because your goals have changed. Your thinking, feeling, willing have changed. Your subtle body is directed in a different layer. That is Krishna consciousness. So we're fortunate to be able to hear these things from the great devotees and to sit with them and be with them and have them lead us around the holy places where Lord Chaitanya performed his pastimes. So I thank you very much for giving me an opportunity to speak something about Krishna consciousness. Sri Gambhira ki jai, Gauranga Mahabhava ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Pramanandi, Hari Hari Bol.